Isn't this a sports show?
Papa, tell me about the radio days.
Almost entirely.
I remember hearing this one radio show where they did nothing but visual gags on an audio medium. The host did a whole segment with his nose taped to his forehead.
This is Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe.
No questions so far. No questions so far.
Nobody wants to ask me anything?
No one's watching.
Oh, goodness.
On 1510 AM, 94.5 FM, and the ESPN Kansas City Facebook page.
I've carried this Patrick Mahomes hype for a full-term pregnancy.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at JB Briscoe.
I want to birth it into the world.
On ESPN Kansas City.
Are you enjoying the Lucas Duda era? I am. I can only imagine that's how we will refer back to these years, not just this year, but the next, I don't know, 5 or 6 years.
The John Jay dynasty.
Oh, the John Jay. Hold on, there's got to be a better, something that's going to flow on that. The John generation, something like that. Or even the John Jay generation. That's pretty good. Triple J. And that's what we're living in right now. We're living in the John Jay generation. We're here for the Lucas Duda decade. You are now experiencing a new and improved, yes, I said improved, Kansas City Royals team. This is legitimate. This is here to stay. This is real. This team is a contender. This team's going 162-0. Mark it, Beards. Mark this for me, please. The Royals are not going to lose a game this year. I'm going to have to, you know, eat a scorpion or whatever because I said they're not. I updated my bet with Cody last night. He wanted a little bit of lenience since Salvador Perez got hurt before the start of the season and after we'd made our bet. So we bumped it actually to 79, from 79 to 78. I like having the nice round. It's not a round number, but at least it's a reasonable number.
It's an even number.
It's at least an even number. And if they end up with exactly 78 wins, we both have to spin. Actually, just one spin, and then we both have to do the punishment, which is fun. Like, imagine us having to do the beer mile or, like, the magazine posing together. Like, instead of me doing a hand bra, I'm, like, behind Cody giving him a hand bra. Like, this has a lot of... You should be rooting for 78 wins, is what I'm telling you.
I am now.
If the Royals aren't going to make the playoffs, everyone on the planet should be rooting for the Royals to have exactly 78 wins. So we updated that last night, and I'm prepared to just eat the scorpion because the Royals are going to win. I don't want to say. Listen, I want you to take me seriously here. I want you to understand that I am not messing around. They're obviously not going to go undefeated. Things happen. So I'd like to go ahead and change my prediction from let's check here. My official 810WHB.com staff prediction said 72-90. I would like to amend that with this nice clean doubling from 72 wins to 144 wins. Beards, can you look up? Would that be the major league record? Oh, yes, it would, by 30 games or so.
It's pretty good.
So, yeah, I mean, listen.
So Alex Gordon's holding us back from going undefeated.
Didn't he get a hit? He got a stand-up double. No, Gordon's fixed, baby. Alcides Escobar will have a couple of games where he doesn't get a hit.
All right, it's Solaire that's holding us back. Never mind.
No, he's my biggest, Royals' biggest surprise candidate. You can go to 810WHB.com and you can wait for the little thing to cycle through and you can see our staff predictions. My picture on it is literally, I have no idea where this picture is from. I don't have a headshot or whatever because that's for real employees. But so I'm looking at it and... I appear to be wearing a lanyard of some sort, so maybe it's a picture from some sort of 810 or ESPN Kansas City event, but my eyes are, like, closed.
It looks like you were wearing a chain.
I was also wearing a chain. I was going to say it's not terribly flattering, but neither is Cody's picture, so I feel like we're good. It's not the one where his hair's parted, like, 35% in the middle. We're just like it's not the side part that's a third into his head. It's a different one. It's not. I mean, listen, most of these aren't perfect. I did like that Steven, he had his Royals' biggest surprise of the year as Dick Lovelady, I believe he goes by Richard. I believe it's Richard Lovelady, and I believe that he's in the minors currently. But listen, we're just one game into the season. At this point, who knows? Anything could happen.
No relation to Dick Justice?
Nope, because that's not how names work. No, correct. Also, like, I have no relation to Josh Hutcherson from The Hunger Games.
That's true.
And I also have no relation to Lucas Duda. Is that what we're doing? Are we just really... Hi, welcome to Almost Entirely Sports. Here's who we're not related to. Hey, Ancestry.com, we need a sponsorship. We need you to tell us everyone who Dick Justice is not related to. Uh-oh, he's a beanie baby. Although I guess you could say that Dick Justice and... I forgot my grumpy cat. It's coming to the mic, you know. I guess you could say that Dick Justice and... We can't call the goat Beards McFly. Can we call it Beards McGoat?
I think it's goatee. I think that's what the name tag says.
Does it? I thought it literally says Beards
McFly. Yes, goatee.
Goatee. Okay, fine. I think you could say that Dick Justice and goatee are related because they're both Thai brand beanie babies. My jester grumpy cat, who again no longer has the "see you in court" tag. It fell off. It's in my bag now. It still exists, but it's gone. They're not really related. I mean, but they're all, you know, stuffed with cotton or whatever. Although I don't know if they're beanies. Hey, cut open Dick Justice real quick, would you? Yeah, I have some scissors in here. Here, Beers, would you please do me a favor and dissect the wiener dog?
I'm good. No, thanks.
Okay, fine.
They're stuffed with little plastic pellets. Hence the
oh,
beans.
You know what? This grumpy cat has some plastic pellets in its butt. And the rest of it, like its limbs and head, are squishy, like cotton or whatever. Probably not literal cotton, obviously. Probably some sort of created substance. By the way, this is how the show's going to go during the summer, whenever we're on at the same time as the Royals. Because, like, we can talk about them, but if you care about the Royals, you're probably listening to the Royals. This is an accepted fact right now. In this room.
Or you're watching them on mute while you've got us.
And again,
up.
That's a great call. And are you listening to podcasts later? That's all fine, but we're just, you know, we're not going to talk as much Royals during a Royals game as we would if we were coming on the air right after the game. Which might happen a few times this year during some day games and stuff. That could be kind of fun. We could do little de facto post-game shows that aren't post-game shows in the way that you might think of post-game shows, but are just us doing the show exactly how it went. Oh no, Lucas Duda got out. He's batting 500 now. What a failure.
That's still really good.
He's a failure. His batting average just dropped 500 points. Idiot. What do you mean that's good? His batting average just dropped 500 points.
It's 500 more than Soler.
And 400 more than Alex Gordon in spring training. With a much larger sample size. Anyway, the Royals are going to win 144 games this year. I'm doubling my win total. You know what? Listen, these are lots of fun jokes we're doing and everything. But I'd like to speak real honestly with you. Can I get a little more mic here, Beards? Can I get it? Oh, Chester Cuthbert just got hit in the hip. Could I get a little more monitor here? Listen, come real close. I want to be very, very, very serious. This is not me messing around. The Royals will win 144 games this year if James Shields pitches every day against them. If James Shields is traded from team to team and he is the starting pitcher every single day against the Kansas City Royals, the Royals will win 144 games. Also, just imagine how hard it would be to pitch every day. That would be physically impossible. Eventually, James Shields' arm would fall off. This has been the ASMR segment of Almost Entirely Sports. AESMR. I am really rooting for Jorge Soler to do really anything. Also, I already saw, man, oh God, Twitter is going to be really hard this year. Because, not even Twitter, this was from a private message that I just didn't even engage into group chat. Not to be Charlie on you, but I have group chats here and there. In one of my group chats, somebody was already saying that Lucas Duda at his value is better than Eric Hosmer at his value. Which there might be some logic to that take for some teams. I don't know. To make that opinion known after literally one swing of the bat from Lucas Duda makes me want to barf. Please don't be that guy. It's dumb. Don't sound dumb. Sound smart, even if you're not. You can do it. We all do it. Unless you don't. Also, we have a couple different brackets today that I'm very excited about. We can either sort of just like steamroll through them, or we can kind of go to them occasionally. I just saw a bracket from Boomerang, the Cartoon Network channel. It's a full on cartoon character TV show character bracket. And they're in the semifinals right now, and I think we could really do some damage on this. And there's also the one that's my favorite every year, which is Sports Pickles' bracket of completely random things that aren't related in any way. And they're not even seeded in any way. Like, here's an example of a first-round matchup. We have diners versus tonsils. Lint versus literal sex on the beach. Rock, paper, scissors versus a good hair day. Sharks versus soup. Brominated flower versus uncanny valley. Motocross versus well-regulated militias. Like, this is very good. It's a very good bracket. And they actually have been putting out Twitter polls, and that's how things have advanced. I think I voted on almost all of them. My favorite one is the 1-16 matchup of Love at First... Excuse me. Love at Fourth Sight versus Arby's. Arby's won.
I think those go together, don't they?
Have you ever looked at an Arby's sandwich for the fourth time and not been in love? I sure haven't.
I think that means it takes four times for you to fall in love, though. Is that how that works?
Maybe. Maybe so. Regardless, in the 8-9 matchup below, Love at Fourth Sight versus Arby's, Wood faced off with a woman named Linda, and Wood won that one, and then Wood beat Arby's. So Wood advanced to Sweet 16. Spoiler alert. So that one's very good. The Boomerang one is very good. Sean Collins' Disney bracket has over 1,000 likes, including a like from Rian Johnson, director of The Last Jedi, and Mark Hamill, who's freaking Luke Skywalker. They both liked Sean's bracket, which is, in a way, derivative of our own bracket. I mean, it is our bracket, just with his answers.
But we're not getting any of the kickback from that.
We had a few people tweet about it.
We got a lot of notifications. That was our kickback.
Bleep load of notifications. Yeah. I don't know how it happened. Like, I mean, it has a bunch of retweets. At this point, it's its own, like, just snowballing thing. So, yeah, on the plus side... At least for a moment, Mark Hamill has sort of glanced at my Twitter handle, probably. Mark Hamill's loosely aware of my Twitter handle, which is very exciting. On the downside, I have gotten legitimately like 3,000 Twitter notifications in the last few days. Original bracket, that bracket, my DeSosa tweets, all the Sean stuff. My phone is just having an extremely difficult few days. I'm also in a relatively good mood, at least for me, for a reason that I'll tease now and then elaborate on later. And again, in case you missed it, Giancarlo Stanton and Lucas Duda both homered in their first at-bats of the season, which makes it, in my mind, a two-horse race for AL MVP. I'm very excited about watching these two definitive power hitters face off this year. Wow, I did make a bunch of Lucas Duda puns before the season, and I just saw a post that I was tagged in about how Lucas went up and he did successfully Duda job, and I was like, oh man, what a terrible pun. Oh God, I said that, didn't I? Well, again, I'm very excited for the Triple J, the John Jay generation, and the upcoming dude a decade. The Royals are currently beating the White Sox 4-0. They're going to blow it. How sad would that be? They have Duffy. I think they're fine today. Duffy's look good, and they're you know, halfway through where he... Oh,
well,
oh.
You say that.
And Danny Duffy just gave up a 2-run home run. He was winding up as I was stamping the game as being over. That happened live. I think your TV is a little bit ahead of mine, Beards. So you were seeing that unfolding a little bit before I did. I was saying that Duffy's looked good and that he's halfway through getting them to the ninth, and this could just be a Duffy Herrera game.
It was literally right after you said they're gonna blow it. I looked up and I just see crack and the ball's just going. And it's just like, oh.
Yeah, and I'm like God. 5 seconds behind you on this TV in here. And I was like, yeah, they're in good shape. I think, crack. I mean, that is the fastest I've ever been wrong about something, ever.
What was our slogan for the Royals yesterday again?
Really bad, really sad.
Yep.
And that's really Salvador Perez's slogan. We're just appropriating it for the Royals as a season as a whole. I mean, it's impossible. It's almost impossible for me to have been wrong about something more quickly. Like, hey, let's see if we can beat the record. Beards is not going to turn on his microphone right now and say the word applesauce. He's not going to do it.
Applesauce.
There's no. The Duffy thing was faster.
Yeah, probably.
By a little bit. I mean, it was that quick. That's amazing. Wow. Good work by the Royals. All right, I'm changing my win prediction to... Oh, no. Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, Duffy just gave up a solo home run. Oh, my God.
So how about this game being in the bag?
Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, my goodness. I've never been more wrong about something more quickly. My point was going to be that, like, this game is great and the offense coming out hot is awesome. But maybe it's the quickest I've ever been right about something because I did say they were going to blow it. Let's just edit out the part where I actually kind of backtracked.
Fastest you were ever right about something.
Yeah, let's keep that. My thought is that the rest of this rotation is problematic and the bullpen is going to be atrocious. And so I think, well, you know, as long as Duffy doesn't have to go to the bullpen too early. Oh, and it's a 3-run fourth inning. Nobody out. Oh, my goodness. All right. Well, let's take a break. Whenever we come back, it'll be 14-4 White Sox. And the Royals will be on their third bullpen pitcher of the day.
Jupitero will be catching and pitching.
Like that Looney Tunes cartoon. Maybe when we come back, we'll do the boomerang bracket. Bugs Bunny is a one seed. Spoiler alert.
As he should be.
Yeah, he should be, but he's a little bit, I think he's a little bit of like, okay, how much can you love this blue blood program, you know? He's not Virginia.
Is he the North Carolina?
I'm thinking this year, maybe, yeah, something like that. You want to know the one seeds before we go to break?
Sure.
Bugs Bunny, Tom from And Jerry fame, Scooby-Doo, I just heard someone yell, oh no. Is this another hit? Hold on. Let's hold up. This is not play-by-play. We don't have the rights to this.
There's no been hit yet. Wow, it was almost a sentence.
Yeah, that was very, very close to a human boy sentence. Look at that. Alex Gordon and LC's Esquire out here saving hits.
Scooby-Doo.
The other one seed is Lizard Man. The nuisance from the Black Lagoon? Does that mean anything to anybody? Like, it almost makes you wonder if the seeding is backwards, because the seed that they're going against is Johnny Quest. which feels like a better one seed than Lizard Man. What is Lizard Man?
The only Lizard Man cartoon thing I've been able to find is from, what is this, He-Man?
He's got, like, goggles and a green suit.
No, that's not the one I found.
Something about the Black Lagoon. I don't know. All right, we'll get to the bottom of this whenever we come back.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
What if we could legally... What if I wanted to legally change your middle name to Beards? What would that take? If this show was...
I mean, a working computer mouse would be great.
With Joshua Briscoe.
All right, so $8 an hour and a working computer mouse, and you'll change your middle name from Curtis to Beards.
That's a discussion starter.
How much would it take for you to change your name to Dick Justice?
On ESPN Kansas City.
You may have to play exclusively Panic at the Disco songs tomorrow, Beards. I'm in a pretty good mood because I saw today on Twitter that Panic at the Disco, they've been doing these pop-up shows across the country. There's some, like, in Ohio or whatever. There's some in California. And I think they're doing some basically, like, tune-up shows. Duffy gave up a third home run. Holy moly. It's 4-4. But we found out today that tomorrow night they're doing a pop-up show in Lawrence. And I am jazzed. I've been on a Panic at the Disco kick the last few days. Last month or so. Just independent of any of this. Any idea this was coming? I had no idea this was coming until today. And the way they've been selling the tickets and all of this is like, stuff where you have to be there and you could buy like one per person and stuff. I had somebody tweet me and, he said that he did some digging on the pop-up shows and they did some in California that were $70 a ticket, but in like Ohio, they're like $30 a ticket. And there aren't a ton of places in Lawrence. There's certainly no, like, arenas in Lawrence that are gonna be hosting this. I'm guessing they're doing, like, club shows and stuff.
They don't have a football stadium, that's for sure.
Right, no, absolutely not.
Because they don't have a team.
Oh, having an actual... Obviously, this is not gonna happen, but having a show in, like, Allen Fieldhouse would be pretty wild.
A little bit.
I don't know how that would work. I mean, it wouldn't work. It would have to be, like, overhauled for that. So I guess they're gonna be at... some place that is going to sell out very quickly. So Renee and I have worked out our planning whenever they announce how they're going to be selling these tickets. I'm in a good mood for that reason, but I'm also nervous as hell. Because what if they all sell out in 2 seconds and we're not there? We've got to get to Lawrence. Who's in Lawrence? Who lives? Come on. Lawrence. Beards lives in Lawrence. It was a little Lawrence joke. Also, Beards, do you feel bad for me, the idea that I'm going to have to drive out to Lawrence twice in one day?
Not really.
Okay, I didn't think so.
No,
I didn't think so.
Audiobooks.
Oh, man, there's a very good tweet that I cannot read about the Royals right now. Oh,
way to be a Beards about that,
man.
Who's it by?
Yeah, you can go look it up, I guess. It's at His Dirkness. He has a lot of... Chief stuff, His Dirkness. I'm not going to read it.
Oh, yeah, that is pretty good. Is it the one that I think it is?
It's his most recent tweet. Yeah.
The one that has three words in it?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a pretty good tweet. Did you like it?
No.
Okay, I want to, but I also don't want to.
Nope, sorry. I'm really sorry to say I can't. It's 5-4 White Sox. Holy bleep.
Ah!
Bleep me forever.
You remember when they said they had the game locked up?
You said remember when they said it. How about remember when I said it?
Yeah, that's what I said.
You said they. Check the tapes.
Whenever you said they had the game locked up.
I got to go find my tweet where I said they're going to win 162 games and then said they're going to lose all. They're going to go 0-162. That was fun while it lasted. Beards is slamming the microphone against his head.
It's a good thing that's padded.
I didn't give the 162 a no. I said the Royals will never lose again. Now I'm going to tweet that the Royals will never win again. There we go. Tweets out. Go, go, my homies. Go, go, retweet me with fervor. By the way, we figured out Lizard Man is like the main villain in the first ever episode of Johnny Quest. Did you ever watch Johnny Quest, Beards?
Johnny Quest.
Not Test. Johnny Quest is an old...
I don't believe so.
It's an older cartoon. And I remember my dad, like, showing it to me and my little brother, and we were watching it a few times, and I don't know, I was...
No, I've never seen it.
Okay. It's pretty good, except there's one really glaring problem with it. Let's see, the first episode...
For a season?
That can't be right.
The original one.
I'm not sure.
There's the original series from the 60s. There's the New Adventures, which is from the 80s, I think. And then there's the Real Adventures, which are in the 90s.
Okay, well, we either saw the first season from the 60s or the one in the 80s, but the first episode came out in 64. And my dad would have been the age where he was seeing probably reruns of the first season. And it is a pretty good, like, animated TV show, except for all of the bad guys are Asian. All of them. Literally all of them, except for, like, one episode. All of them. It's always the heroes versus some variation of an Asian bad guy. And that's problematic in retrospect. But that was something that was, like, strikingly obvious. After, like, episode three, it's like, this is troubling. And so that's something I was reminded of today.
I'm sure that was a Vietnam Cold War thing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That did not age well.
Oh, I'm sure it hasn't.
Having entirely Asian bad guys is just not a great look. You want to do some of this boomerang bracket?
Go for it.
We'll just start in the top left. And some of these appear to be sort of facing off with people in their own universe, which is kind of fun. Bugs Bunny versus Elmer Fudd.
Oh, Bugs Bunny's winning that one easy.
He is. Elmer Fudd, a little bit underrated, though.
No, Elmer Fudd's great.
What is Bugs Bunny without Elmer Fudd? He has other characters he can play off of, but that might be one of the best matchups.
Sure.
Then we have Megilla Gorilla versus Adam Ant. These are a couple old school ones.
No, don't recognize either of those.
I've seen a little bit of Adam Ant, so I would have them advancing, although in the actual bracket they had Megilla Gorilla advancing. Either way, the Bugs Bunny is advancing over either of them.
Totally.
Daffy Duck versus the Tasmanian Devil.
Daffy. I got to go with Daffy. Daffy is the superior duck.
Over Donald?
Yes.
Agreed.
Daffy is the superior duck.
He also, I'll go ahead and side with you on that. We're going to try to come up with a consensus.
Tasmanian Devil's a one-trick pony.
This is where I was going.
Yeah.
I really like Taz. Taz is a very good addition to any animated universe, but he's not much of a, he doesn't have much of a dramatic monologue to deliver.
No.
Bit of a one-trick pony. That's totally fair. Also traumatized me in my childhood as a mascot at a parade.
That makes sense.
Then we have Barney Bear versus Yogi Bear. Yogi just has to advance there, right? By reputation.
Yes.
And then in this region, we have a Bugs Bunny Daffy Duck Elite Eight. And I'm not sure.
Daffy Duck?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I'm not sure that I'm willing to bend to common knowledge here. Bugs Bunny is, you know, the hero, I guess. But I think Daffy Duck might be a more complex character.
Yes, I agree with that. I love, though, the way that Bugs Bunny is able to foil any plot or scheme at him.
That's
true. With just this calm expression, and he just wreaks havoc with this poor person's life, whoever it is. Like, one of my favorite ones as a kid was when the magician would go around and he was, like, nailing a bunch of signs up around trees, and he covered Bugs' house with one, and then they had a little war over it.
Yeah.
And Bugs just destroyed the poor fool.
Yes.
And I love those. They're so much fun. I love Daffy. It was a buzzer beater, I'd probably take Bugs Bunny.
I'm okay with that. Again,
Either one of those advancing is fine.
I typically, and this might just be me in general, especially like with a movie like Monsters, Inc., the foil is the better character in most instances. Mike Wazowski is a better character than Sully.
Sure, definitely.
And there's a little bit of that going on here. I'm willing to go ahead and give you Bugs and a buzzer beater, but I'm going to ask you to give me a buzzer beater call later if it comes to that.
Deal.
Scooby-Doo versus Spooky Space Kook.
Spooky Space Kook.
It's like he looks like Mr. Freeze. I don't know who this is, but he looks like Mr. Freeze. I'm guessing he's a Scooby-Doo villain at some point. I mean, Scooby-Doo advances here. I'm not a huge Scooby-Doo fan, but
I like Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo, good news for you, because the next matchup is Penelope Pitstop versus Dick Dastardly. I mean, I'm gonna Google that, but yikes. He is a fictional character and antagonist who appeared in various animated series by Hanna-Barbera Productions.
I mean, I know who he is, but I'll probably just take Scooby-Doo just because I've seen Scooby-Doo way more often.
You're telling me that you're voting against Dick Dastardly?
I am.
I mean, that's infuriating to me.
Why?
How dare you? Because it's Dick Dastardly. All right, fine. Scooby-Doo advances. Now, here's some good ones. First, we have... Oh, this is interesting. Flint Lockwood from Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs versus Dr. Quest from Johnny Quest.
I'll let you take that one.
Both good characters, but I would take Flint Lockwood there. I think he's a nice character.
I'll side with you then.
And then above that, Wile E. Coyote versus the Roadrunner.
Ooh.
This is a case where I am both very good characters.
Totally.
But again, Roadrunner is the one that would win this if it was a battle of successful characters.
That's what their whole show was.
But Wile E. Coyote is the character driving that whole ship.
Totally.
So Wile E. Coyote advances. He also advances over Flint Lockwood. Scooby-Doo versus Wile E. Coyote. This one is good.
I'll take Coyote.
Agreed. I agree.
I like Scooby, but you can't have Scooby without Shaggy. And Wile E. Coyote is just too much fun.
Yes, I agree. Oh, man, I've got my upset. I just saw the next region. We'll take Johnny Quest over Lizard Man. It's a main character versus a one-episode villain, I guess, that I didn't actually know of. Doesn't matter. Johnny Quest is getting bounced in round three. Next is Courage the Cowardly Dog versus Droopy.
Droopy.
Do you remember Droopy? Droopy was, he was in some other cartoon first, and then he had he had Droopy.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I used to just occasionally, at any point in my life, just go, "Hello, Joes," which is something that Droopy would say. I freaking love Droopy. I know that people love Courage the Cowardly Dog.
I was never a huge Courage fan.
Droopy advances here.
Sure.
Because Droopy is my favorite. Then we have Laszlo versus Jake. I don't remember. These are newer Cartoon Network characters that I can't place. You got anything on those? Have you watched Cartoon Network in the last 10 years?
No. Laszlo sounds familiar. I just can't think of from what.
Doesn't matter. I honestly think there's a chance there's a show called like Laszlo and
Camp
Jake.
Laszlo.
That we're just not. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe. And then this is a heavyweight.
Does it look like a monkey? Laszlo?
Jake looks like a monkey. Yes, they're both monkeys.
Okay, so I think that's at Camp Laszlo.
Whatever. Heavyweight matchup in the bottom of the bracket here. Fred Flintstone versus George Jetson.
I saw more Flintstones than I did Jetsons, so I'll go Flintstone.
Okay, that's fine. I'll let you have that. And then Fred Flintstone over Laszlo because we don't know who Laszlo is.
Sure.
Here's where I think this bracket really goes awry. The actual bracket voters had Wile E. Coyote losing to Scooby-Doo. That's wrong. Also had Fred Flintstone losing to Droopy. That is an affront to comedy. Droopy is not getting enough respect. I think Droopy should advance over Fred Flintstone. But here's your thoughts. This is the buzzer beater that I want. I want this one.
You want what now?
I want Droopy over Fred Flintstone.
That's fine.
This must happen. Droopy's a Final Four character. And then one more region here. This one's a very good region. Unfair first round. Tom from Tom and Jerry versus Garfield. What a ridiculous first round matchup.
That's pretty good.
A ridiculous first round matchup. I will tell you that in this region with the popular vote, one of those characters is in the Final Four. By a bigger margin of victory than in this first round matchup.
I'll go with Tom.
I think Garfield is a better character. What is Tom without Jerry?
That's fair.
Garfield without Odie, or Garfield without John, or it's still Garfield. He still just hates Mondays and loves lasagna. Also, the animated Garfield show I have very fond memories of. Also, I have fond memories of Tom and Jerry, but the show isn't called Tom. It's called Tom and Jerry. There is Garfield and Friends. Garfield and Friends. Garfield and Friends. But we're not worried about the and Friends. And Friends is not the co-star. It's the Garfield show. I'm incredibly passionate about this. Also, Danny Duffy's out of the game.
Yep. For a guy, I don't know who this is.
Yep.
He looks like
Boyer. Boyer.
Cool. Does he have a first name?
Boyer. He's like Pele.
Okay.
Or Ronaldo. No, wait, hold on. Ronaldo has a first name. What else am I looking for? No, okay, that doesn't work. He's Pele. Or Ichiro. To stay in the sport, I guess. I think Garfield's a better character than Tom. Fight me.
I'll give it to you.
This has Tom in the Final Four.
I like Tom.
And I agree. Tom is probably the second best one out of this region until I get to the last matchup, and I think you're going to be thrilled.
Okay.
Next one, though, is Popeye versus Papa Smurf. Nice matchup. Again, Popeye, though, main character. Papa Smurf, one of a few.
Sure. And I never really watched the Smurfs.
So Popeye advances. Then we have Dorothy versus Wilhelmina. This is your name, but Ina. It looks like she's a witch. But they're both like very cutesy Wizard of Oz characters. No, sorry, not Wilhelm. It's Wilhelm. Wilhelmina. If you want to just, let's gloss over this, because I promise you the winner of the next round is going to advance. Are you with me, Beers?
Here's Dorothy.
From The Wizard of Oz.
Okay.
But as an animated, they must have done a Wizard of Oz animated show that I don't know about.
I didn't know.
Looks like it's very new style animation. Here's the last new matchup for us of the whole tournament. This is the most difficult one, I think. And Boyer is giving up a home run. Ready?
Okay.
Dynamite versus the Anvil.
Ooh.
Right?
Interesting.
Tremendous.
Sneaky.
Tremendous characters in the cartoon universe.
Versatile.
Both very versatile.
In a bunch of different shows.
All over the place.
Ooh.
It's a very good first round matchup.
I gotta go with the Anvil on this.
Agreed.
One.
It's funnier.
It is. Dropping an anvil on somebody is never not funny.
It's unless it's in real life, in which case it's purely horrifying.
So is dynamite.
You can use dynamite in real life for things more than you could use an anvil for in 2018.
Maybe.
But no, anvils are like even the shape is funny.
Dynamite's really good.
Shaped that way. Dynamite is good. But also, important, and here's an important other factor here. I'm with you on Anvil. But here's the reason Anvil
it's close,
wins this.
Though.
Anvil wins this one by 10, in my mind, because the sound.
That's pretty good.
Dynamite blows up, whatever, and Anvil could drop and make, you don't even know. It could be a thud, it could be a wham, it could be a boing, depending on what it's dropping on.
I will say.
Wile E. Coyote's eyes are going to shoot out of his head or whatever.
Dynamite is always great in cartoons because it is never lethal. All it does...
Neither are anvils, but go ahead.
That's also true. But all it does is just make the other person really sooty, so where you can only see their eyes.
That's true.
And when it's a dud, it's also really good.
That's also true.
Because they're freaking out. And then it's just, oh, it didn't work. And then, boom, fake dud.
Oh, that's good. I think Anvil wins. Like Grayson Allen makes that layup against Kansas. That's how Anvil beats Dynamite.
Sure.
And then Anvil destroys freaking Dorothy or whatever. Not even close. And then I think Garfield beats Popeye, right?
Yes.
We're really throwing this bracket for a loop because, again, Tom is a Final Four one here. And then it's Garfield versus the Anvil.
I'll take the Anvil still.
I think eventually we go back to just, like, the sheer strength of the character. The Anvil show probably isn't terribly interesting. What do you do with the Anvil? Is the Anvil show, like, you just live stream an Anvil?
You just drop Anvils on people. In different settings, in different ways, so that it's never the same way twice. One time they drop it out of a plane. One time you ring a doorbell and the Anvil just falls on them. Launch an Anvil out of a catapult.
I don't want to deprive you of the true final matchup here that we're really working towards.
Cats versus dogs?
No. No, I'll tell you what I think the real matchup is here, but I also think Garfield should advance on this one. But having an Anvil advance is pretty good.
Anvil advancing is pretty good.
All right, the Anvil advances. So our final four is Bugs Bunny, Wile E. Coyote, Droopy, and then Anvil. Bugs versus Wile E. Coyote.
I'll stick with Bugs.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Because Bugs is the reverse Wile E. Coyote. Everything Wile E. Coyote does fails.
I just wanted to get us to a Wile E. Coyote versus Anvil final matchup.
It is a really good final matchup.
Because that's like Duke, North Carolina, whatever, Duke, Kansas. That's the blue blood matchup right there. That is a song as old as time. No. Song as old as rhyme. What's the beginning of the Beauty and the Beast? What's the first rhyme? Tale as old as time. Song, yep. There you go. I agree. Okay, fine. Bugs Bunny is a finalist. But now we're at Droopy versus an Anvil. I feel like we've lost the sauce here on this one. I feel like this isn't the flavorful punch we're looking for.
I don't remember Droopy that well. I'd stick with the Anvil still.
Okay, so what happens in an Anvil versus Bugs Bunny final?
I don't know.
I think we've taken the Anvil too far. Anvil wins! Go to break!
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports.
Aaron, who's been on fire, by the way, tweeting about how this show, he said that Almost Entirely Sports is like the Titanic actively seeking out the iceberg.
With Joshua Briscoe.
I mean, man, just what a disaster show we're having. And we're not even...
I mean, we're kind of enjoying it.
Oh, yeah, I am.
But at the same time, we recognize, like...
you might not be.
There's the iceberg. Here we come.
On ESPN Kansas City.
White Sox just hit their fifth home run of the day. That's what you're pointing at, right, Beards? Was it definitely a homer?
8-4.
No, it's 8-4. Wow. Wow. This.
Dick Justice, your thoughts.
He's distraught. He's speechless.
He's always speechless.
That's the joke. Here's the thing. I really am not here to just straight up bleep on the Royals. I know I've been doing it a little bit this year. I know I officially gave you the 90 loss prediction, but I don't enjoy that. I'd rather them be good. This might have been their best start possible. Like it was 4-0. In the first inning, right?
I think so.
Duffy was pitching. This is as good as it's going to get. And
that's a dark thought.
And then an anvil dropped on their heads.
that Dynamite they were holding, it wasn't a dud.
Not a dud.
Nope.
I'm worried. Like, at least today is going to give us something to talk about, like, tomorrow.
Post-game's going to suck.
I'm so sorry. It's going to be hard hearing people talk about the MLB draft after the first game. That's a really, really dark place to be.
You're listening to Almost Entirely Sports with Joshua Briscoe on ESPN Kansas City.